morning. It's good to be with everyone today. Glad that you're here. Glad to have those visiting with us. There's a book that you may have seen called The 1 Minute Manager. Author is Ken Blanchard, and he recommends that leaders develop the practice of what he calls 1 Minute Praising. The idea is that you try to catch your employees doing something right, and you immediately tell them that. And so sometimes employees aren't used to that. We're used to bosses, you know, doing the 1 minute complaining, but and telling you when something's wrong. So it's sometimes, unfortunately, rare to be praised when you've done something well. And his idea is there that he has is to praise them right there on the spot. Don't wait. Don't hesitate, because your waiting takes away the impact. And tell them how much you appreciate the good job that you're doing. I think that's a good thing. And I've had people that I've worked for that I can tell have probably read that book. But it's difficult for a lot of people because we're better at criticism than we are at praise. We're much better at 1 minute blaming than we are 1 minute praising. But it's something that we need to think about biblically. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises in your name, O Most High." Unfortunately, it's very easy for us to take things for granted. We live in a wonderful country. We are well fed. We have roofs over our heads. We have money in our pockets. We have electricity and running water. This week, we were out without a garage door that would open for several days. You would think it was the end of the world that the spring on our garage door was broken. And so we had to do things differently. But you think about that minor inconvenience, how something minor like that can be such a big deal. But, you know, we have things. We may not be as well off as some others, but compared to most of the world, we're very, certainly very well off. And that's not intended to make us feel guilty, but the thing is that we are very much blessed materially. We are blessed with good friends and family and brethren. And James says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And so everything that we have is a blessing from God. But as much as we do have, sometimes we are slow to acknowledge our blessings. If you remember when the children of Israel were released, led out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. And one of the themes that you see over and over in the book of Deuteronomy is that Moses says, when you get to the land and everything is great in Canaan, it's going really well for you, don't forget God. And I can imagine when Moses said that initially, oh, we'll never do that. You know, we'll never forget God. But he did need to tell them, and when they did get to the land of Canaan, what did they do? Well, yeah, they did. When everything got going great, they did do that. I think maybe sometimes we do that as well, that we have grown accustomed to things like a garage door. We've become accustomed to the things that we have. We take them for granted, and we need to occasionally be reminded of all those things that we've been taking for granted. And for some reason, I picked this special week to do that, to talk about that. It's times like Thanksgiving that we stop, hopefully, to focus our attention on all those things and not just think about, you know, what it is that everybody's going to eat when they come together, but think about the purpose of being thankful. And so yeah, I think it is a great time of year when we do that. We ought to be thankful all the time, and we need to be reminded always of being thankful and have the attitude of gratitude that we should have. Because we live in a world that is filled with so much ingratitude and unthankfulness. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul told Timothy that the last days will be this way. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal and not loving, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When you look at that, so that's a terrible list. That's a terrible list of sins, but you, right there smack in the middle of it, is being ungrateful or unthankful. And so that's something that Paul warned Timothy, that people were going to be that way. And of course, it's a warning for us, and we need to be abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So I want to think about that this morning. What is it that we have to be thankful for? And again, we live in this world of convenience, and you know, Thanksgiving has become something that means I'm going to get a really good special on TV. You know, that's not what it is about. You know, you're getting all these ads for Black Friday right now, and so people are used to doing some things this week that really don't have a whole lot to do with being thankful. It's ironic that this week or this weekend coming up has turned into a weekend of greed. You know, that how much more can I get, you know, for my money, and I'm going to trample people to get that item that is in limited quantity. So it is ironic to me. But God wants us to live a life of thankfulness and have attitudes of gratitude, and certainly we see that here expressed to the Colossian brethren. They need to be abounding in thanksgiving, and that's a message for us as well. And so there is so much that God wants us to be thankful for, and I want you to look at Psalm 138, where we have, it's not on David's phone, he said, but it's got to be there somewhere. You didn't pay for the real version or something. But Psalm 138 is in your Bible, hopefully, and it's a psalm where we have a lot of talk about things that we should give thanks for and things that will be helpful to us, and certainly from a spiritual nature instead of a material nature are the most important things that we should be thankful for. So let's look at Psalm 138 this morning. Psalm 138 and verse 1. The psalmist begins simply by telling that the Lord is deserves thanks. "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise." And think about that statement there. That give thanks to the Lord with all of your heart. Pour out your heart in thanks to the Lord. And we should do that, not hold back, but passionately proclaim our thanks to the Lord without reservation. It's this picture that we see in verse 1, you know, should be in all of our hearts to give thanks to the Lord. And I like also that it says, "I sing praises to the Lord in the presence of the heavenly assembly." What do you usually think when somebody's just starts singing? You usually think they're happy or they're thankful, that there's, it's not usually a "oh, woe is me" type of singing. It's usually happy things. And thankfulness is one reason certainly why we sing. I appreciate Noah singing the things that he did this morning regarding the theme of this lesson. Thankfulness is a big reason why we sing. It's not something that we just do well. We have the example in the New Testament. People do it, so I guess we ought to drudge through it. You know, that's not the thought that we should have about singing. It is one of those things that we do in worship, not that we feel, well, we're so obligated to do it, and I really don't want to. If we have the right attitude of thankfulness toward God, it should be something that's very, very natural for us to do that. And, you know, it's not like we're obligated to fill up this board here with these songs every Sunday. And that's what God wants. Make sure you do your five songs. God wants that to come from your heart. God wants the praises of the heart. It's coming through our mouth, but it's coming from our mind, and we can easily forget that when we come together to worship God, it ought to be with a spirit of thankfulness. Always. Thankfulness of what God has done for us. That's where our singing comes from. That's often a thought in our prayers. Our thanks to God should be, you know, the primary thought in our prayers. And so the worship that we offer, the praise that we offer, is not half-hearted. It comes from the depths of our heart. It comes from an overflowing of thanksgiving because we appreciate what God has done. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. That's what he says he's doing. I'm praising you with all of my heart. 100%. But now let's look at what the psalmist is praising God for. So why does God deserve praise? One of the things that the psalmist says is, I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. Do not abandon the work of your hand. And so the psalmist says here that he bows down toward the Lord's holy temple. If you go back in the Old Testament, then you can see that bowing toward the temple was a call of faithfulness or repentance. And you can see that this is the idea here in verse 2. I'm thanking the Lord because He's unwavering, that He is steadfast, that He is faithful. And certainly we have a lot to be thankful for when we think about that. Because people sometimes are not faithful. They're not dependable. And hopefully that's not the case with Christians, but sometimes people will let you down. But God is never going to let you down. He is faithful. He is steadfast. And the psalmist also says that he is thankful for the salvation that the Lord provides. And this steadfast love and faithfulness of God is going to help us through difficulties. And so verse 3 says, when I called, you answered me. Have you ever gotten a phone call and looked at the numbers and said, I really don't want to deal with this right now. I know what they're going to want. They're going to want something from me. And kind of one of the jokes in the business that I'm in, because we have a lot of customers call me, and many times I can't pick up right when they call me. When I call them back, they say, well, you know, after I don't need you anymore, I figured out my issue. Yes, that's great. And sometimes I'm accused that's your strategy, that you don't pick up your phone on the first try, that you're going to work it out yourself. And I said, well, it's amazing how often that happens. That happens to me, too, when I'm calling somebody for assistance and they call me back 30 minutes later, I've already figured out. I've opened up the manual and read what I should have read the first time. But you see what the psalmist says, when God called, He sent you the voicemail. When you called God, you sent Him the voicemail. God sent you the voicemail. No, when you called God, He answered. God is there when you need Him. And the psalmist is saying, when I called, you answered. I think that is such a good thing that we can recognize today. So not true. How many times when you need help do you actually get the help that you need on the first try? Or you've got to go through the phone tree and you've got to say, Representative! God answers you. And God is faithful. And so you think about that when you are in the pit of your life. Or if you're on the mountaintop, how God answers you. Think about the strength that God gives you in those dark times and the help that He gives when all hope appears to be lost. And you can certainly think about that in regards to the life of the psalmist, of David. Because we did a lengthy study of the life of David, and we saw that he was not always on the mountaintop. He was in the valley many times. And he called out for God, and God was always faithful to him in all those times of his life. So you think about those times where you've been broken and you've been crushed and it's been trying. You know, how how God is faithful. Just think about, you know, the last year. You know, what was your life like at the end of 2022, and what's it like in 2023? And we need this kind of perspective so we can look back and say, you know, I was struggling with this and this problem, and God has seen me through, and He has helped me, or He's in the middle of helping me, and we need this kind of perspective. And sometimes, it, like I mentioned several weeks ago, you know, somebody would come in and say, "Hey, Randy, how's your hip?" And I'd just say, "Oh, yeah, I had hip surgery." I don't even think about it unless somebody asks me. And that's a great thing. But it also illustrates to me how fast we are to oh, well, we got what we wanted, we're going to move on to the next thing, and we forget how thankful that we ought to be. We need to have some perspective about giving thanks to the Lord and praising Him because He has been faithful and He has been steadfast. And I think this really helps us when we look at this, that we have a God that gives us unfailing help. And when we call, He answers. And He also mentions, do not abandon the works of your hands. Which I think is that I am the work of your hands and you're not going to abandon me. Please keep doing what you're doing. And so the psalmist praises the Lord for this. Let's look at Exodus chapter 34 for a second. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. So when the psalmist here is praising the Lord, and when he says here in verse 2, he says, "I will praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for you exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame." And this is praise for God for who He is. This is praise of God for His name. And I think Exodus 34 helps define that for us. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So if you notice here, we see that the term the Lord is used over and over, but you also see the reference here to His steadfastness and His mercy and His love and His faithfulness, just as we see the psalmist talk about that. And so when the psalmist is praising the Lord, you know, you're seeing that the name of the Lord is so significant. His name shows love and forgiveness and justice. And we often commend the young men here, you know, when they pray, they're often praising the character of God in the way that they introduce their prayer. And they use a lot of terms about God's mercy, His understanding, and His faithfulness. And we should think about that when we praise God, that we have life and we have hope and we have confidence simply because of the character of God and who He is. And so that's what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 138, 1 and 2. Let's move on to verses 4, 5, and 6. And here we see a call for God's people to give thanks. Verse 4, "May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, He looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, He sees them from afar." So the psalmist turns here and calls for the rulers of the earth to give thanks to the Lord. Do we ever pray that? Certainly. We have lots of people, when they pray publicly, they pray for the rulers to be guided by the Lord, to be guided by the Word of God. Do they always do that? No, they don't, but we would hope that they would. And the psalmist here is praying the same thing. So, you know, we have a good example here when we pray that. Psalmist, you know, David's mentioned that as well. Let's pray for the kings of the earth. Pray for your leaders that they will make good decisions. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. And what a better world it would be if all leaders would do that. And so we certainly, you know, see that the psalmist is calling on the kings of the earth to give thanks to the Lord. And also, I think that doesn't exclude everybody else as well. We all should be doing that. And certainly verse 6 would indicate this is including everybody. Though the Lord is exalted, He looks kindly on the lowly. And though lofty, He sees the lofty He sees from afar. And so the kings of the earth need to give thanks. And they need to hear the decrees of the Lord and give thanks. They need to sing about the greatness of the Lord. And so the one of the reasons that they do that is, though the Lord is high and exalted, what does He do? He looks on lowly. Could that be something the kings need to think about? Do the kings need to think about that? The kings sing the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. But you kings, remember that though the Lord is exalted, He looks upon the lowly. And so don't get too high and mighty, you kings. And so the Lord is high and exalted that He looks kindly upon the lowly. He brings the lowly close to Him. It says He looks kindly on the lowly. But the ones that are lofty, you know, they're not drawn as close to Him. And certainly it is sad when rulers do not give thanks to the Lord because they refuse to see the reason they rule is because of God. We talked about this recently in our Romans class. Romans 13 verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So maybe they ought to give thanks for the fact that they're in that position. They wouldn't be there otherwise. John 19 verse 11, Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. Jesus talking to those that are, you know, prosecuting Him. You don't have any authority over me unless it had been given to you. In Daniel chapter 4 verse 32, says that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. You shall be made to eat like grass, like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over to you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will. Daniel talking here to Nebuchadnezzar, and what's going to happen to you? But you have to remember that God is the reason that you have what you have. So there's a call for the people to give thanks. And the more that the rulers refuse to give thanks to the Lord and to praise Him for the positions they've been given, the worse they become. But note here that God knows every person, the lowly and the not so lowly. But God is near the lowly, and the arrogant are kept afar. And so God does not distance Himself from the humble. You think about that for a minute. Have you ever been to some place that some people can't go into this area? You know, this area is reserved for people that are credentialed. They've got to have the lanyard. They've got to have the badge. You have to be somebody special to go in here, and everybody else has to say, what's it like in there? Well, I don't know. I've never seen it, but I hear it's wonderful. God looks kindly on the lowly. And that's not typical of those that have greatness, that are high and exalted in their minds. So we should praise the fact that the Lord has come near to us. He sent His Son to die for us. And we should always be thankful for that. Verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. So even in the midst of troubles that we face, things the sins that we commit, you know, God delivers us and He gives us success. And specifically here, The psalmist talks about the enemies, the anger of my foes. So the point is that God's unfailing love is always there for us. We're able to walk confidently because the Lord will remain with us through the end. Sometimes I don't think we think of life in this way. The reason that we live is by the power and the Word of God, and nothing is outside of God's control. And we need to thank God that for our lives. You know, we sometimes just assume that we all have tomorrow and that we have control over our lives. And we really don't. And so, you know, for all the that I was telling Jarrell recently, there used to be this guy that would jog every day. There's still a guy that jogs every day. He walks fast through the neighborhood. I don't know if he has a job, you know, because he seems to always be walking in the neighborhood. And I'm sure that's really good for him, but he never looks any better to me. You know, he doesn't ever appear that he is in that much better shape than he was, you know, 6 months ago. But, you know, why do people do that? Well, I'm not, you know, trying to say that's a bad thing. You know, the dieting and exercise, change of our behaviors, you know, that's good, but we're still going to die. We're going to die one day, and, you know, when we wake up, we be thankful to God that we have another day that we can praise Him and do His will. And if we're not doing His will, maybe start doing His will. And you wake up and be thankful for the things that you have. But death is promised to us. You know, that's something that is going to happen. But we don't have the promise of continual life. And so the psalmist here says, I'm walking in the midst of trouble. You are preserving my life. And he is thankful for that. Be thankful for each day that you have. And also be thankful that God is accomplishing His purposes. Verse 8, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Again, God is going to do His will. He always accomplishes His purpose. He is going to do that, and He's going to do that through us. And we need to be His instrument. We need to work. We need to be using the things that we have in His kingdom. And this should constantly be a prayer that we have. God, I want You to use me. I want to be Your servant. We sing a song, Make Me a Servant. Do we really mean that? Well, you know what you're doing when you sing that? You're volunteering to work. You say, you made me a servant. The song isn't let somebody else do it. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Fulfill Your purpose for me. Make me the work of Your hands. Be thankful for that. That we can be useful servants to Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, says, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If I'm a stone that is in terrible shape and not useful for anything, for building anything, and I have all kinds of rough edges, describing God cut off all those terrible edges and refine those rough spots so I can be a living stone that's going to be used to build up a spiritual house that God is building. And I think this is the idea the psalmist is using here at the end. You know, use me. Let me be a servant. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of Your hands. Do not stop working in my life for Your glory and purposes. Do not give up on me and molding me and making me better. And so we should be thankful that God has a purpose for us. And so the psalmist is saying, don't abandon the work of your hands. Don't give up on me. You're shaping me, and please don't stop. So we have so many reasons to be thankful. And I know that this is a time that people think about that. But there are so many references to thankfulness in the Bible. I've read that there are over 550 references to thankfulness in the Bible. And that tells us that there are probably a lot of benefits that come from that. And it's something that can make us a different person. It can change us. And I've already made the point that we kind of live in an ungrateful age, and you look around you and you see people that are bitter. It has been said that some people are bitter not because they don't have anything, but because they don't have everything. I think that's very sad that it's so true. That they're bitter not because they don't have anything, because they certainly do have something, but they are always focusing on what it is that they don't have. And we are taught to be greedy and grasping, and commercials constantly remind us of all the things that we don't have. And if we do that, we're going to be unhappy. Unhappy people are also unthankful people. And you may think that people's unhappiness makes them unthankful. I think it's the opposite. It's their unthankfulness that makes them so unhappy. Their ungratefulness. And being thankful, as we're reminded so many times in the Scriptures, can really transform us into different people. That our thinking will be transformed. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Although the word thankfulness is not used there, the things worthy of praise certainly implies that you need to look beyond the rich physical blessings that we've received, and certainly look at all the spiritual blessings that we have. And give thanks to God for all that He has done for us, both physically and spiritually. So I hope this will be a reminder to us of the kind of attitude that we ought to have. And certainly, this is a time of year when people think about those things. And maybe it'll give you a chance to talk to others about, this isn't really about turkey and dressing and all the sides and stuff, although it's nice to get together with family and enjoy those things. But if it's called Thanksgiving, stop and think about that and what it is that we truly are thankful for. We can certainly be thankful that God sent His Son to die for us, and He gave us the ability to have our sins be washed away in baptism and arise to walk a new life and have a hope of heaven and eternity. If we can help you in any way to respond to that, we'd like you to come while we stand and sing.
victory.
With me, please. Our dear, most wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father, all-powerful, all-knowing, and creator of everything, Lord, we come before you at this time with humble hearts, thankful for the time that you've given us, that we might come together as brethren in your Son Jesus Christ's name, that we might be able to be a joy to one another, to enjoy the company that we have, and to, most importantly, Lord, worship you, understanding your righteousness and fulfilling your word as you've commanded us to do. Lord, we're so thankful for the love that you give us, what you provide for us every day of all our physical needs, all our spiritual needs, the peace that we can have in this life, because we know that you are our Father and we are saved by your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that all the things that we've done this morning have been in accordance to your word, and thankful that you've provided us with the word that we can follow and know that it is truth. Lord, we ask that everything that we've done be pleasing unto you, as that is our goal as we strive through our lives, even day to day, to live according to your righteousness and as you've laid out for us. Lord, we ask that you be with those who are unable to be with us for various reasons. Please be with Sister Jody as she's traveling back home. Keep her safe and allow her to come back next time she's around. And Lord, we are thankful for those we regularly pray for that you have so clearly given your blessings to, for Brother Christie and the health that he has, and for the Oglesbys. We thank you so much for providing for them as you do for all of us. Lord, we ask that you be with the elders of this congregation. We're thankful for the opportunity to have them, and we ask that you give them guidance towards your word and leading this flock of Christians here. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we leave the comfort of our brethren, that we might remain on the path of righteousness and strive in that all the days of our lives. Lord, we ask that you forgive us of the sins, for the times that we falter, for the times that we disregard you. Allow us to recognize that and to repent truly, and to come around to recognizing the beauty of the relationship we can have with you, and for the redemption that we've received through your Son Jesus. We thank you so much for his sacrifice, for everything that he was able to provide for us by dying on the cross, for his sinless blood that he shed for us. Lord, we ask that you be with us and help us to remember the things that we've done, sang about, prayed about, and learned about this morning. Allow us to, and help us to apply these things to our lives, that we might be more holy in your sight. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
I am a 12-month employee. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.